what you want, when you want it, where you want it. This is The Mesh.
This episode of the Caregiver Community is sponsored by Pace at Home. During this uncertain time, Pace at Home is enrolling participants who wish to continue to remain at home. Partnering with families, Pace at Home provides caring medical support for all of our program's participants. Visit us on our website or give us a call at 828-468-3980 to talk with a representative that can discuss with you the Pace at Home all-inclusive medical approach. Pace at Home is the champion for seniors wishing to remain in their community.
Welcome to the Caregiver Community. This is a place where we talk about the joys and the challenges of caring for our aging parents, as well as caring for ourselves. I am Frances Hall, founder and executive director of ACAP, Adult Children of Aging Parents. In this podcast, we're talking about anticipatory grief, grieving before an expected loss. Most people think of grief as something that happens after a loved one's death, but grieving can also occur days, weeks, months, or even years before death. Anticipatory grief is the grief we may feel about losses to come. Holly Ray, a licensed practical nurse, certified care manager, and certified dementia practitioner, is also an end-of-life doula. She has spent 15 years working in all areas of hospice in Pennsylvania, leaving an executive director's post to begin her own end-of-life practice 5 years ago. She consults and coaches families through some of their most challenging end-of-life circumstances. Also, for full transparency, Holly is a former chapter coordinator for our ACAP Center County chapter in State College, Pennsylvania. Hi, Holly. Thank you so much for being with us to help us with this important conversation.
Absolutely. Yeah. And thanks for having me, Frances.
Absolutely. Just glad to have you here. Okay. So let's kind of take this from the top, because a lot of people don't even know anything about anticipatory grief. What is anticipatory grief? Help us understand that concept.
Okay, yes. So anticipatory grief, it can be felt by families or loved ones. And what happens is it's exactly that. You're anticipating the loss of that loved one. So this is a grief that typically forms or you start feeling before death. It's the grief that is to come. And often it is related to death. So somebody has a terminal illness, they have a life-threatening illness, and death is possible. And it kind of comes in phases. It might be a shock. You're shocked about the upcoming loss of the diagnosis of what people are talking about. You're denying the reality of the loss. And eventually, at some point, there is a level of acceptance. Now, in my practice, I've seen a lot of this, with a cancer diagnosis, dementia, the Alzheimer's diagnosis, and I coach and work with people all across the country, and grief is the same no matter where you're at. So this anticipatory grief, especially with a disease such as like dementia, they're also, they know they're going to lose their function of like driving a car. They're going to lose their function of remembering events. It's hard for the loved one to watch because they also know that, that person may not remember them anymore. They're not going to celebrate their wedding anniversary. And so it's a lot to process. And especially if somebody is younger, a younger person might be realizing that, they may not go to college. They may not reach those milestones. They may not, get a job. They may not have the opportunity to get married. So that grieving process starts long before death. And so again, grief often is associated with the death process, but this anticipatory grief is really grieving the loss of either death or independence.
But it sounds like the stage, I mean, we all hear about the stages of grief, but it sounds like what you're suggesting is the stages of anticipatory grief can be similar to those stages that we think of after death. Is that correct?
Correct. And just like after, you just don't know how they're going to come. I often like to refer to it as like ocean waves. Sometimes those waves come in really calm and it's really peaceful and you're enjoying it and you're having great, you know, you're like good conversation. And then sometimes they're coming in crashing and it's a storm. And like grief is that same way. You may have triggers and you just don't know how you're going to feel. And just knowing that that's what you're experiencing and giving yourself permission to experience those feelings and then also deal with that grief as it comes as well. And, you know, and there are lots of, you know, things that you can do too, to, you know, cope with your grief.
Yeah. And I love what you were just saying about give yourself the permission to experience it, that that is okay. You are okay. That is appropriate to feel whatever you are feeling. Right.
Yeah, and I think I'll speak like of our culture. I had the honor and privilege of participating in a death in Florida with a different culture, and it was celebrating. It was a time of celebration where there was flowers and music and dancing, and just they were transitioning into a different time, and everybody knew that that was part of being born is also death. So it wasn't a surprise, and it was celebrating. And you know, quite frankly, there was a lot of fun that was happening.
Interesting. Boy, that could be a whole nother conversation about culture around passing, around death. Let me go back because you kind of said this a second ago, that there are all kinds of coping mechanisms. How can people cope with anticipatory grief?
Yeah. So just accepting it. It's an emotional response that you have when you're especially facing impending death of a loved one, of the loss. And again, you're anticipating. So you're not sure if it's going to be a tomorrow, if it'll be a week, or, you know, even months. And as we talked earlier with a dementia diagnosis, that could take years. So just giving yourself permission that that is a normal response. And you don't want to dismiss you know, that grief process, because it's also a time of healing. And you want to pay attention to grief, because there can be some positive moments in that as well. And for both you and your loved one, it's an opportunity to have conversations. Do you need to talk about just some unspoken words? I've seen times of forgiveness. They're sharing funny stories. At times, you know, we're creating videos. We're creating audio recordings. It just depends on that person and their situation and their age. And, you know, there's another part to it as well, depending, is just that time to plan. I mean, do you need to update any financial documents, you know, any legal documents? So that's also, you know, gives that loved one that's passing away, you know, some peace of mind knowing that the people who are going to be left are well taken care of. And also when you're coping with this, you know, sometimes it is day by day, minute by minute, and you just don't know what's going to happen. So also just kind of go back to what you enjoy doing. Did you enjoy going for walks? Do you journal? What about exercise? Try to get some exercise in. I see this a lot with caregivers. You know, you need to step away because caregiver burnout is a whole nother topic as well. So when you're grieving, you know, you give yourself permission to grieve, and sometimes you might need to take a step away and, you know, get somebody to step in there to be that caregiver so you can, you know, get some quiet time for yourself.
Yeah. And when we're talking about the person who is the caregiver, there is just so much physically, emotionally, relationally, there's so much in all of that journey. And so to anticipate that this there's going to be a time that this is no longer, that can be really, really hard. Are there some specific steps that people can take during this grief, during the anticipatory grief process?
I think one of the first steps is just acknowledging it. that your loved one is, you know, moving toward the end of life, and it's going to be difficult, and you're going to have emotions, and you know, again, depending, learn about their condition. What's their prognosis? You know, side effects. Don't just jump right in and start Googling. I wouldn't suggest that. There's a lot out there, but reaching out to support groups, do your own research, talking to your doctors. There's organizations out there that you might belong to. You know, reach out to ACAP. ACAP has a lot of great resources. Now, there are a lot of virtual support groups too. So you don't have to just be in your area and find something, because I've ran into people too that they're not comfortable going physically to a support group because one, maybe they're just too tired, two, they can't, and three, sometimes they don't want people in their community to know. So reach out and tap into that virtual group. You know, acknowledge that it's going to be scary. There's a lot of unknowns, and you know, just giving yourself permission to be there with that. You know, learning information about grief, you know, knowledge is power. And what you do with that knowledge can help you feel more in control and to allow you to make better decisions and create a plan. So again, it's back to that diagnosis, a diagnosis of dementia versus a diagnosis of cancer. There's a lot of, like, there's so much variation with that. Reaching out, like, what type of support system do you have? What type of support system do you need? You know, we're all really good. We tend to be good at giving everybody else support and help, but we're not so good at receiving it.
And oh, what a good point.
I am so guilty of that. So yeah. You want to take that time to receive it, because people want to give. Like, how do you feel? You like giving, and other people want to give to you. And that's the sense of community that I really feel strong about, like, getting back into, where you know your neighbors. And this is a hard time, and just helping everybody out, because it is a day by day. You know, watch out for the depression and anxiety. And, you know, some people have to do this grief and still keep working and still raise children. And, you know, there's a term that they call the sandwich generation. So just keep looking for those little small moments that you can get. Maybe that's those small moments too with your loved ones. You know, don't get caught up day to day with all those minimal tasks, like the dusting and things. You know, I'll speak of personal experience. My mother-in-law she was on kidney dialysis, and it was intense. There was, you know, because it was hard. And I stopped dusting because I was tired. And so we made this bookshelf at our home. And actually on the bookshelf, we used to write words in the dust. And so it was known that we couldn't dust this, because that's where we wrote, like, just I love you, or smiley faces. So it's those, like, special moments to really step back and just, I don't know, just let yourself go. Even our laundry, there was times that I would just do the laundry and put it in a pile, and the kids use that as their blankets. You know, they watch TV in the pile of clean laundry. So it's just things like that. We don't have to be so strict and rigid. Just let yourself go and be in those moments. You don't want those times to pass by.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's such a good point. That this is not the time to be thinking, or for the priority to be having this spotless house. This is the time truly to be with your loved one. Something came through my head a second ago. That there really are two parts of this. One is that when we are in the midst of anticipatory grief, that we still have our loved one that we are taken care of, if it's an impending passing of a loved one. But we also have our own life, our own house, careers, spouse, partner, children, our own life, and our own feelings, that in addition to everything that we typically deal with, we now have this anticipatory grief that sort of is like a blanket that fits over everything, because it truly permeates everything. Right.
Very well said. Exactly. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Because I certainly remember both with my mother, as I knew at the age of 96 that we were moving to that point, and with my husband, with Bill, it was more of, you know, what can I do? How can we forestall? You know, how do we get more time? Those kinds of things. So there was a lot more busyness, I guess, with journeying with my husband. With my mother, it was a very peaceful, I knew that this was inevitable, understandably.
And you bring up a really good point, and that's exactly it. It depends on where we are in the lifespan, because there's no cure for aging, you know, old age. That's going to happen. So that grieving somebody that's in their 90s versus grieving somebody that's younger or a diagnosis that's, you know, they're leaving the world sooner or earlier than what we had planned or of what we want. And that's that opportunity. You know, I get asked sometimes, like, you know, is it better to know or not know, you know, to have an accident and it's quick, or to know that it's going to happen? And, you know, I don't have an answer to that. I do know, like, when you do know, it gives you that opportunity to have some closure, to have some conversations. You know, you don't have those regrets. Well, I wish I could have said this. Or I wish I had the moment to do this. You have that opportunity to do that, to use it. You know, and even if you think your loved one doesn't understand what you're saying, say it anyways. You know, especially like, again, with the different diagnoses and at end of life, when they're more asleep and you don't think they're hearing, you know, have those conversations. Don't, you never want to step out of that and say, I wish I would have, or I should have, you know, use this time to, you know, have those conversations and develop some closure. And then another thing too, that sometimes I hear people saying is, you know, we get hung up on the word hope, you know, like, I hope you get better and I hope you get stronger and I hope you overcome this. And there's a certain point in time where that hope transitions. We know they're not going to get better. You know, it's not about them being stronger. There's a disease, there's an illness that's eating away at them. And hope, you know, you can't say that to them. I hope you get better, because we know that they're not going to get better. But at the same time, I never want to give up on hope and the power of prayer. So it's just that fine balance where you kind of shift your hope to, like, I hope they're comfortable. Well, make them comfortable. Mm-hmm. You know, I hope they smile today. Well, maybe say something that makes them smile. Do an activity with them. Spend those times. And as you mentioned, Francis, you said with your husband that you were just busy. You know, it can get busy running from doctor's appointment to doctor's appointment, you know, getting opinions, making sure you're making the best decision, you're not missing something. And then in the process of doing all that, in the back of your mind, you're also wondering, well, what if? And that's the grief process that starts. There's that, all that unknown and what if, that you really just have to take it day by day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And give yourself a whole lot of grace that you're doing the best you can. And regardless of how marvelous, more than likely, at the end, there will be something that we wish we had done a little different.
Always.
That's just the nature of it. So we're talking a lot about an end of life, but is anticipatory grief always related to the anticipated passing of a loved one?
Yeah, and no, not necessarily. You kind of think about just that feeling of loss, what that could be like. So it could be somebody that has realized that they're not going to be having children. You know, that's the grief of not growing a family. Maybe, you know, they're concerned now nobody will want to marry me. What if you're in a job and you get fired, you get left go? That's grief. You might be grieving the loss of coworkers that you enjoyed working with. Maybe it's a lifestyle now that's shifting. Somebody that has a diagnosis that's going to limit them, you know, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, they know that at some point, they're not going to be able to drive a car, and driving a car is huge. Independence, you know, they know that that's coming. That's grief. Divorce, anticipating that, what was once thought of, you know, you got married and you said I do's and everything was going to be happily ever after, but that's not happening. And all the what ifs, the loneliness, and, you know, what am I going to do with my finances and my house and where are we going to live? And let's talk about pets as well. You know, pets get illnesses. They get sick. You go to the vet and you come back with a diagnosis with your pet, your fur baby. You know, what's going to happen there? So all of this, you know, is something just to be aware of. And, you know, and too, like if somebody's worked and they're financially independent, or they were the main person in their home that was the financial person, that also, I mean, what are we going to do now? That person's grieving because I thought I could help out more than the person that's there, the caregiver, the spouse, the loved one. There's a lot of planning that needs to be done. And during this grief process too, emotions come out. You know, there could be anger and sadness and bitterness and frustration. And you just always have to make sure that, you know, you're seeking professional help, a counselor, talking to your doctor. Just don't try to tackle this alone. Find somebody that you can talk to and that can hold that space for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is all really good stuff. We've talked a lot about how grief and anticipatory grief can affect someone. Is there anything else that would be helpful to say about how grief can affect, or anticipatory grief can affect someone?
Yeah. And I think we all need to be aware of just like we talked a little bit about how you can get anger, your feelings, the frustration, the sadness, there could be joy, regret, disruption of sleep. You know, maybe you can't sleep at night. You lay down and all of a sudden that's when your brain starts racing. Maybe you're sleeping too much. That's also your appetite. Maybe you're not eating that much. Maybe you're overeating. You're not able to relax. Maybe you have tension in your body. Your stomach's upset. So these are all things to be aware of. And if they get to the point where they're really disrupting your life, you know, seek medical attention, because we don't want you getting sick. You know, you're not getting a good night's sleep. You're not eating right. Well, then if your body starts to get tired and it doesn't have the right nutrition, that can set you up for getting sick. Then if you're sick, you have to go to the doctors. Well, what if you get really sick and you end up in a hospital or, you know, something major? So then that just, it just kind of keeps layering on top of one another. So recognizing that this is occurring, and be okay to get help and, you know, talk to your doctor, because if you're not sleeping well at night, there are, you know, medications that you can take, or relaxation tapes or yoga. There's some apps now on the phone that you can listen to help you relax. So, yeah, I think just being aware of that, and just back to that caregiver burnout. I'll keep always saying that because I see that so much. Is that caregiver is so busy taking care of their loved one that they stop taking care of themselves. And there's the mental and emotional exhaustion that occurs. And, you know, sometimes I've seen this where family members come in and they're like, oh, I wonder what's wrong with her today. She's awful grumpy. In the back of my mind, I'm like, wow, you know, she's here 24/7. She never gets a break, or he, you know, or a child, any of them, they're just tired. So be aware and conscious of it's okay to be tired, but it's not okay to let yourself go and just give yourself 100%. You have to find that happy balance. And I can only imagine how difficult it is, but just recognizing that and, you know, looking at resources in the area that might be able to help you with some of that, you know. Can you bring in, you know, a caregivers to help you out? As like I mentioned before, ACAP and resources that are available, the local office of aging, finding a care manager that will help you navigate the system and help you come up with a plan is always helpful and beneficial too. You don't have to do this alone.
You know, there so much of what you are saying is so on target, and certainly reflects my journey with this. But the thing that I keep hearing over and over and over is, it is okay. It is okay to recognize this is hard. Caregiving is hard. And when you are in the midst of caring for someone who you know where this is going to end, there is a lot that is just sitting in there. Or if you or a loved one knows that there's going to be a time that life is going to change dramatically, that they're not going to be able to be as independent, they're not going to be able to make the decisions, that's hard. And I think it's, you know, we think that it's hard for the person, and it is, but it also is hard to be the one who cares about this person and is watching this happen. That's just really hard. So are there some signs that we really need to be aware of, either within ourselves or within a friend or a loved one, that it's kind of like we've crossed that line mm-hmm. between we can take care of it, it's okay, we are okay, versus we need to get some help. Mm-hmm. We need to reach out. Yeah. How do we know that line?
Yeah, and you know, and grieving is a process that requires just acknowledging your feelings. You know, it's going to hurt. There's no way out of this. There's no way to avoid that pain. It's not like you can take, you know, a magic pill and it goes away. Ignoring it's just going to make it worse. That feeling has a direct impact on our mental and physical health. So first, it's important to acknowledge those feelings, and two, it's important not to bury them and pretend they don't exist. You know, there are studies out there that confirm that anticipatory grief helps individuals to find meaning in their situations prior to the loss and closure. So the most important thing to remember is to make your anticipatory grief a healthy experience, a healthy one, recognizing that this is normal. And it's a normal part of the process. And the one thing that I've always will think of is, you know, when you work in a job and somebody passes away, you know, depending on who they are, you get 2 days or 3 days. But what about this anticipatory grief? Like, you know, I can say with experiencing personally, man, I needed some days off before, not after. I needed time off before, and just kind of recognizing that. And, you know, how do you keep it all in the air? How do you keep juggling it all and giving 100% to your work and then to your family? And so just knowing that, you know, when that grief becomes a little more difficult to function, you notice it yourself, you're getting more depressed, anxiety. I mean, there has been links to PTSD. If you're feeling that overwhelming sadness, you're crying lots, you're tired, exhaustion, anger. I mean, anger just toward anything. It could be, you know, anger over the ladybug crawling across the TV when you're trying to watch a show. Those are just examples. And that might be a good indication where you should reach out to a grief counselor, a bereavement support group, your doctor, somebody in your religious or spiritual network. And just start talking about those feelings and getting them out, because it doesn't do any good to keep them bottled up.
You know, a minute ago, Holly, when you were talking about the kind of reactions, the kind of feelings, and sometimes we're not even aware of our feelings, but we see it manifest. We see the feelings manifest in our actions or feedback from someone else. You know, you were kind of talking about that, and I can just see people who are listening to this going, yeah, that, you know, because that absolutely happens all too often, that we're so busy caring for everyone else that we don't have the time or the energy to even recognize what's going on inside of us. Or if we recognize it, we don't spend the time addressing it, dealing with it.
Yeah, because you don't have time, right? Like, I don't have time, like, you know, and you go back to all of those, I got to do this, this, and this. And that's where like a counselor can come in and help you just really, you know, put them in like, you know, I've seen a counselor. I will probably see a counselor forever, but they've helped me with techniques and just visualizing, you know, I have to do a visualization of putting things in boxes and I put them on the shelf. And this is something I'm going to box and put on the shelf, because for me, it was really hard because I have probably a little bit of OCD. So, you know, keeping a tidy house was important to me, but I also found somebody to help me clean the house. But then, as I mentioned, I just let things go, because then there's that financial part, like, oh, just hire a housekeeper. Well, how can I afford that? Because I'm putting all the money toward my loved one, or have somebody come in and help your loved one. Again, financially, how can you afford that? Can you find a caregiver that you trust? It's just so much. It's not just so easy. And, you know, nobody knows how you feel. They might be able to relate, but nobody truly understands exactly how each of us feel, because it's so unique. Our relationships. I'm the oldest of six. My relationship with my mom, she's still my mom, but my relationship with my mom is different than my other five siblings. And so we have to just acknowledge that.
Sure, sure. And you know, so often people are so hesitant to seek out help, whether it's from a spiritual advisor or a clergy or a licensed therapist or anybody, or even a friend, you know, but I always liken it to looking in the mirror. And that's really what we're doing. And how many of us would get dressed in the morning without looking in a mirror? You know, right. For us women, how many of us would, you know, do our hair or our makeup without looking in a mirror? For men, how many would get dressed completely without looking in a mirror? And that really is what talking with somebody is about, is how getting someone to mirror back to us, to help us see what we can't see by ourselves. So,
yeah. And that's where I, you know, I really just a sense of community back, because there's a wait list, you know, like, all right, we'll go see a counselor. Well, all right, how can I afford it? And then if my insurance doesn't cover it, how do I find one? And then I find one and there's a wait list. I mean, how can somebody wait 6 months? So, you know, if you run into those like barriers, just get creative and don't stop. Okay. So in my community, do I know somebody that experienced this? Is there somebody I feel comfortable talking to? I just hope that you have somebody. And if you don't, I know there are like 800 numbers, ACAP, you know, reach out to ACAP. We have connections. We'll put you in touch with somebody, you know, to start talking. And just don't try to do this alone. That's the big takeaway. There has to be, you know, there is somebody somewhere. And starting with ACAP would be a good place if you ever come up against those hurdles where you don't know where to go.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Because in every community, there is somebody. And we can put you in touch, or probably people have friends or know somebody who can connect them with resources right there in their community. Holly, this is such good information and such important information. Thank you. Thank you for helping us understand what this is, what anticipatory grief is, and how important it is to recognize it and to address it. Thank you.
You're welcome, and thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And to you, our listeners, thank you for joining us. We hope this podcast has been helpful to you and that you will share it with others that you believe may benefit. This program is part of the Mesh Network of online shows and podcasts. You may find more of our Caregiver Community podcast on any of the platforms where you listen to podcasts. You also will find our podcast on our website, www.acapcommunity.org. While you're on our site, we hope you will take a few minutes to learn more about ACAP, our educational programs, and our local chapters. And if there are other topics you would like for us to address, please do let us know. There is a way on the website that you can do that. As we say so often in ACAP, regardless of our age, our background, our education, our career, or anything else, when it's our mother, our father, our loved one who needs the help, caring for and advocating for that person becomes very personal and extremely important. And that's even when it is ourselves. So please care well for your loved ones, but also remember to take care of you. Stay well. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Mesh, an online media network of shows and programs ranging from business to arts, sports to entertainment, music to community. All programs are available on the website as well as through iTunes and YouTube. Check us out online at themesh.tv. Discover other network shows and give us feedback on what you just heard.